Welcome to the Baby Weight Podcast, brought to you by Omaha Better Birth Project. Omaha Better Birth Project is a nonprofit organization. Our mission is to decrease inequities in childbirth by providing access to doula services, childbirth education, and prenatal and postpartum support for low-income and teen families. Find out more about Omaha Better Birth Project online at www.omahabetterbirth.org.
Hello, everybody. This is Emily Seddon. I'm the Associate Director here at Omaha Better Birth Project, and I am back with a new episode of the Baby Weight Podcast. We took a little bit of a break to do some programmatic efforts. We just completed a community baby shower that was very time intensive, but also very rewarding. And so we had to take the podcast and put it up on the shelf for a little bit, but we are back. And today we are joined by Miranda Little. And Dr. Little is a licensed occupational therapist that has worked in different settings, acute care, neonatal intensive care units, and also an outpatient setting with both children and adults. In the NICU, she found her passion for working with both moms and babies. And now she is an assistant professor in the OTD program at Creighton University here in Omaha. And she teaches courses in orthopedics, neuroscience, and also an elective course on the occupational therapist role in maternal health, and especially the NICU. She has three children at home. They're 3, 5, and 8 years old. And so she remembers all too well the culture shock that can come along with new motherhood. So we were really excited to speak with her on both a professional and personal level about her experiences. So sit back and enjoy this episode. I think you'll find it very informative. And I know that Sam and I sure did. So here is Dr. Miranda Little.
Hi, Miranda. Thank you so much for joining us today. We're really excited to talk to you. We haven't had anybody on the show yet to talk about occupational therapy. So we're ready to dive in and learn about this because we really don't know much about it.
No.
this is a great opportunity to share with our listeners about how OT works for postpartum families. So thank you for joining us. Can you tell us, just what is occupational therapy and when is it used?
Absolutely. So occupational therapy is basically a health profession focusing on the activities and roles and everyday tasks that we have to do, both those that we want to do and those that we have to do on a daily basis.
Okay.
So we like to look at what is meaningful to our patients and then help them find a way to do those things as independently as they can and also kind of to their satisfaction. So sometimes you can do something, but just because you can do it doesn't mean that you're doing it as good as you would like to. And we're experts in adaptation, activity analysis, and kind of coming up with practical solutions to everyday problems, which is why we're kind of a good fit for motherhood, because that's probably one of the most adaptable things that you have to do in life. Yeah.
Yes. This has been piquing my interest. When I found out you were going to join us on the podcast, I'm going, this would have been super useful to me. Yep. postpartum especially. So this is incredible. Is OT similar to physical therapy or what are the differences? Can you talk about that?
Absolutely. So the similarities with occupational and physical therapy, physical therapy and occupational therapy both focus on physical rehabilitation. We have very similar coursework, but we have a very different framework or theory behind what we're doing. So putting it kind of simply, physical therapy, you're going to see more of the biomechanical approach. They're looking at the body systems and all of those functions. And we overlap a little bit, especially in pelvic floor, phys rehab. But with OT, we're really looking at those daily occupations and what makes you functional and what also makes your life meaningful to you and what kind of helps make you tick. so to speak. So what are your roles and habits and routines that make you who you are? Everyone's an individual, not just because of the things that you love and the things that you do every day, but even down to a neurological level, your brain is completely made up differently than the person next to you. And that's going to impact how you mother or parent or do anything in life.
Yeah. Very interesting.
Wow. Yeah. So can you speak to a little bit about benefits to occupational therapy that are directly related to pregnancy and then kind of being postpartum? You mentioned a little bit the pelvic floor. Maybe you could speak more about that.
Absolutely. So again, PT and OT can both work on pelvic floor. They can both do prenatal care. They can both do postpartum care if they have that specialized training. It can be either one. The approach with how they do it might be a little bit different. Okay. So the way that they look at it, but the actual therapy itself might be somewhat similar. But other things that OTs might look at during pregnancy specifically might be activity analysis, for why you're having so much back pain other than just carrying a child. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it might be how do you strengthen your muscles prior to, you know, in preparation for birth or just even getting used to, you know, you're going to be carrying a newborn around and increasing your flexibility, increasing your activity level or maintaining throughout pregnancy when you're dealing with a lot of other aches and pains and things that are not, you're not typically used to. Even how do you address swelling? All of those types of things. One of the things, I worked in outpatient therapy, so I saw a lot of women during pregnancy with orthopedic issues, so carpal tunnel syndrome. There's something called de Quervain's tenosynovitis, and basically both of those can be caused or made worse by all the increased swelling that you get during pregnancy and all of the hormones. Oh. So we can do splinting, working on activity modifications. Usually they're kind of an inflammation or something where they've been aggravated. Mm-hmm. So they can work on stopping that aggravation and helping you so that you're not in pain.
Wonderful.
Which is especially helpful when you're, you know, trying to carry a baby and not having pain in both of your wrists would be great.
Right. Absolutely.
Not an ideal situation. Right.
At what point would you recommend somebody reach out to OT for postpartum therapy? Or is this something you recommend to everybody? Or you know, what does that process look like? Do you get referred from a provider? What does that look like?
Well, grand scheme, I think that everybody should probably be seen by OT, but that's not where we're at, state of the world right now, or state of the therapy world anyway. I think, you know, if you are having, experiencing pain, whether that be back pain, pain in your upper extremities, difficulty doing your daily tasks, that's even just during pregnancy, there's things we could do to help with, you know, if you can't bend over and tie your shoes, we can make recommendations for how you can do that short term. There's all kinds of things we can do to work on ergonomics. So like your positioning and how you do your daily activities to make sure you're not injuring yourself. There's also, because we work on those lifestyle changes, your roles, all of those things, we can help people come up with like postpartum plans for how you're going to take care of yourself after birth, that it's not just about caring for the baby, but also about caring for yourself. And what does that look like?
I love that.
And yes. It's something that I definitely could have used after I had my first kiddo. There's also OTs that are lactation consultants and that specialize in that. So they can work on, you know, if you're going to be having, or if you're having difficulty with breastfeeding and you look up and there's an OT that can also do lactation, they can help you with your transition back to work, making sure that you have a pumping plan. All of those types of things. And as always, you know, they can make other referrals as well. So how this typically would work is you would get a referral from your provider. Okay. So if someone was interested in something like that, they could talk to their provider about it. And then you'll have to do some research to find where there are OTs doing things like that. There has been an increase in what we call mobile outpatient, where it's kind of where an OT they'll travel to the home or meet at a specific location to work on breastfeeding, or they do something called prehab, which is like preparing for birth. And there are a few in the Omaha area. There's one in Lincoln, one in Western Iowa. And I know there's also an OT in Omaha that does some pre and postnatal work. And usually for those, the mobile outpatient, they may or may not bill insurance. It may be like a cash-based type of situation. More likely when they bill insurance, you need a referral from a provider just to make sure.
Sure. I imagine this would be, you know, as somebody who's had a cesarean, I can think of 1,000 ways this would have been helpful on just how to do your daily activities of just living life after having major abdominal surgery. Like, they just kind of send you home and say, don't pick up anything heavy.
Right.
Exactly.
Right. Having somebody to help you like figure out even just how to get out of bed, how to sit up and nurse in bed, how to do any of that would have been extremely helpful.
Yeah,
absolutely. I firmly believe that anybody who has had a C-section should be referred for pelvic floor therapy and likely OT to not just for pelvic floor, but for some ergonomics evaluations and home modifications to make sure you are most successful and doing those things without aggravating, you know, your incision and causing unnecessary pain in what should be a really exciting, joyful time.
Like, I can't help but wonder if I would have healed faster if I had the techniques that were like the safe way to go about my life immediately after surgery. I can't help but wonder if that would have improved my healing timeline.
Yep.
I don't know.
Well, they always say, what is it? An ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure or something like that. Like, this is, it's looking to prevent those problems that can happen with you preventing making them worse, which is enabling your body to heal better, I would assume. So I could see benefit
absolutely
from every aspect, every angle. I was wondering, Miranda, if you could kind of walk us through, I know depending on the patient's symptoms or if they're pregnant or postpartum, but if you could walk us through what a typical appointment would look like for maybe a postpartum person or however with OT, kind of what that process looks like.
Sure. So depending on the concern, as you said, it's going to depend on what route they go, whether it's more of a physical assessment or if, you know, we're talking about roles and lifestyle changes and modifications, there's all kinds of things they can do. But usually they're always going to start with what we call the occupational profile. And basically that's just really going in depth with your patient and finding out what is the most meaningful activities that they want to be able to do. But then also, what do they have to be able to do? You know, it's not just, well, my meaningful activities are being able to sit and watch TV, but I have to be able to, you know, make breakfast and get kids out the door to school and those types of things.
Right.
So what do I need to do? And like, what does this client need to do on a daily basis? And then also, what do they want to do? And what would make this experience more of a quality experience for them? So that's going to be where they're going to start. They're going to ask a lot of questions and they're also going to get some health background. So that's where they're going to need to know, did you have a C-section? Or if you're currently pregnant, how many weeks are you? What are things looking like from your doctor? Now they'll get some of that information in the referral, but they also want to know from the patient coming in, what is their understanding of that? And sometimes you'll get different symptoms from the patient as they walk in than they might tell their physician or what the physician decided was important. And then also usually their physical assessment. So what is causing pain? What is causing the issues right now? If it's pelvic floor, they will probably do like a pelvic exam, but they'll do a lot of discussion too. There's a lot of talking. OT in general is very, we like to say, client-centered. So we really look at the person's goals, and that's the priority. So if they're saying, yeah, I can't really do this, but, you know, my partner can help me with that for now, I really want to focus on this, then that's what they're going to focus on.
Right.
And so that's usually typically what that's going to look like. And then they'll come up with the goals with the client and say, what do we need to focus on in order to make you successful?
Absolutely. Very cool. That makes a lot of sense. I was also thinking, you know, while you were chatting, you're so much more than just an occupational therapist. And I really wanted to take some time to touch on your personal experience as well. Would you be willing to kind of walk us through your personal experience with transitioning from, you know, being pregnant into a new postpartum life, and kind of how you kind of melded your personal and professional lives together? If you could chat about, you know, different OT hacks that you used in your own life and maybe what you would have done differently if you feel like, you know, there were some things that maybe didn't go as planned or as you thought it should.
For sure. I think, you know, I have three children and my oldest just turned 8 yesterday.
And
thank you. He's very, very sweet. And I think that, you know, I can sum up my first pregnancy and childbirth experience with, I didn't know what I didn't know. I did as much preparation as I thought I could do. I was almost 28 years old. I felt like I was established in my career. I had all this knowledge on taking care of babies, from doing things with the NICU and in pediatric care. I did the childbirth classes. I did all of these things. And I did all this preparation for the baby and didn't really give a single thought to preparing to be a mother.
Yes.
And what that looked like. And I, you know, I assumed this was like this mother nature thing that the second the baby was born, you just magically transitioned him to this person who knew what to do.
Yeah.
And then he was born and I fell in love with him in an instant, but knowing how to mom, not so much.
Right. That's so funny. Like, well, people on the podcast obviously can't see us, but we're like shaking our heads furiously because you're just preaching to the choir here. We know exactly what you're saying.
Yeah, it's just, I, you know, and so I wasn't prepared for the sleep deprivation. I knew babies didn't sleep, but I wasn't prepared for feeling isolated, that I wasn't at my job anymore. And I felt like I was bothering people if I called them because they were at work. And then I experienced this really debilitating postpartum anxiety.
Oh.
And in 2014, no one was talking about that. I didn't know what that was. And I went to my doctor and I said, I keep having thoughts that when I walk by my fireplace, I'm going to drop him and he's going to hit his head and he's going to die. And he goes, that's normal. And I was like, no, it's not.
That's no.
It's not normal. And so it got to this point that I couldn't lay him down to sleep and I couldn't lay him down so that I could go eat. And I was a mess, but I also had this sensation that I was a failure because motherhood just didn't come naturally to me.
Mm-hmm.
And after, I mean, he was about 6 weeks old, I had to quit breastfeeding because I wasn't successful, because I wasn't eating, I wasn't sleeping, and I was a mess. And finally, my husband was like, what is going on with you? Like, you're crying every day. Like, you seem so in love with him, but like, you are not yourself. And I just was not prepared for that transition and felt like I couldn't be who I was before. It was this such a mindset shift. So then after, I had this thought of, you know, I knew all these things. I was so prepared, but still was not prepared for that. and wasn't prepared for not knowing how to be his mother. And so I started treating myself like I would a patient and said, okay, you have to eat. You have to set him down to eat. So I'd put him somewhere that was close enough. And I started treating myself as though I was a patient.
Oh, wow.
And it got much better. And then I started to just not just make it through, but I just enjoyed the process of being his mom and getting to play with him and getting to do all those things. But I had to have, you know, serious thoughts of, okay, he's a baby, and what do babies need? They need, you know, to feel contained. They need, from my experiences working with infants, what do you do? So I figured out that he liked to be in his bouncy seat while I took a shower, and then I'd still get to shower. And I started setting boundaries for visitors so that I could still feel engaged and enjoy people, but also that, you know, if you'd stayed for 2 hours, that's probably enough. And he needs rest and I need rest.
Right.
And so then when I had my second child, once I had kind of dealt with all that and I really was enjoying being a mom, I had my second baby and I knew beforehand what had happened before. And I was very scared that it would happen again.
Right.
And so I kind of prepared this postpartum plan for myself that, you know, you will get out of the house once a day and you will make one phone call to somebody outside your house that is an adult every day. And you will at least get yourself dressed in different clothes every day. It doesn't have to be a full shower, but you're going to do these things so that you feel like a human being and more like yourself. And I was so much better prepared for that second baby and then the third baby because I put so much planning into it beforehand and really learned to give myself a lot more grace as well with, you know, I didn't expect myself to know how to just take care of two children at one time. I said, this is a learning curve. I don't know how to do this yet, but I will.
Mm-hmm. I love how you talk about, though, that you had to rely on your professional experience. You said you treated yourself like a patient. What would I tell a patient to do in this situation? But of course, not everybody has that knowledge to pull on, which is why having an OT, a therapist to go to tell you, here's what you should try. Try doing it this way. Try doing this. It wasn't going to take much to convince me that everyone needs to have this, but you convinced me. Oh, this is, it's like life changing for families.
Yep.
Like just because so many families that I've spoken to over the years, they're literally just trying to survive, if not day by day, like hour by hour,
mm-hmm.
just trying to survive. And if there's a resource sitting out there that can make that easier for them, it needs to be available. We need to know about it. We need to shout it from the rooftops.
Yeah,
absolutely. That's how I feel too.
Oh, wow.
Well, and you shared briefly that you also did some work in the NICU with OT. I would assume that newborn babies then also have some OT needs potentially?
Absolutely. So I did about 3.5 years I spent working in the NICU, and that's kind of where this love that I have for, I mean, I've always been a baby person, but this love of taking care of both baby and the mother kind of developed. And honestly, just the parents in general, because I saw these babies and I would see them for feeding skills. So learning how to eat, both at the bottle and breastfeeding. And there was a lot of also teaching the parents how to parent these medically fragile infants and still feel empowered and feel like they were involved in actually the parent and not just one of the many caregivers that the child had in the NICU. And I did a lot of work with them on their sensory experiences and making sure they had positive ones and not just negative ones from tubes and lines and heel sticks and all of that. So that was really a passion for me as well. And in my current role at Creighton, I have so many students who are very interested in the NICU and had never even heard about maternal health. And so now we are going to be doing this elective that's going to kind of do a deeper dive into both and hopefully increase our number of practitioners that are offering these kind of services, because I just think they're so
I bet needed. That was so powerful for the families you worked with. I bet they were just so grateful and thankful for that help. Because like we've been saying this whole time, it's not something that people really even know about.
Mm-hmm.
And wow, I bet it was so powerful.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, I think that when you're dealing with, like you said, medically fragile children and even postpartum birthing people, I think that a lot of the emphasis is on the medical side of it. And like you said, like the biophysical side of it, whereas there's still emotional and, like you said, sensory needs and things that need to happen that can be overlooked if it weren't for people like you. So that is, it's super powerful. And it's, my son goes to OT for a completely different reason. But she's been pretty awesome in our lives too, in many different ways, just helping with his sensory stuff. And it's amazing, and it needs to be utilized more. So thank you so much.
I agree. Well, thank you. There's so much that you can do, just to support that relationship and that bond between the parents and the babies, and for, you know, them to build a strong bond, but also, you know, skin to skin contact. That's what they're meant to have. They're meant to be able to smell their mother and hear them and all of those things. So I really kept that in mind when I was treating the babies, that, you know, you're not just treating a baby, you're treating a family as well. And I think that's important for my students to understand as well. And for anybody that has an infant in the NICU, that you're, you know, while the baby might be the patient, that you being able to thrive as a parent is also very important in order to make that infant thrive. So.
Oh yeah, definitely. Oh, very good, Miranda. Good stuff. So I have a quick question in closing. The little fun thing we started doing is kind of a one key takeaway item that anybody can take away from our podcast. So we want to ask you, what is one thing that you would like expectant families, or you could do postpartum families if you'd like, to know about OT, postpartum life, motherhood, any of the topics and items that you talked about tonight?
I think the biggest thing, and you know, this is what I tell anybody that I know that has someone in their family having a baby or anything like that, don't forget the mother. Pay attention to the mother. She still has needs, even though she's going to probably divert most of her attention to that baby. If you are a surrounding person, do what you can to make her life easier. If you can help her outsource, you know, housework or other childcare or meals or anything else, do whatever you can to support the mother.
Absolutely.
I love that.
Yep.
Oh, so good.
That is great. I love it. Thank you so much. We had a wonderful time speaking with you, and we learned so much. I know our listeners will as well. We just couldn't thank you enough, and we hope to talk with you again soon.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of the Baby Weight Podcast. If so, please consider leaving a review to help us increase our visibility to reach more families. And don't forget to subscribe. For all the show notes and links, head to www.omahabetterbirth.org and click on the podcast link.